Well, I have to tell you, I'm kind of flying high today because in the first service, and not I didn't announce it because I didn't want to point them out, but we had my grandmother and two of my aunts that have just been huge in my life who were a part of this service with us, and you guys have heard me talk about my grandmother several times, and so it's one of the few times that she's been able to actually be part of one of our services, and so it's just been a phenomenal day for me, and just to be able to, throughout the day, just kind of celebrate moms, and then in particular, to be able to walk through the conversation that we've been having. And this week's kind of an interesting week for us because we're in between series. And if you've been at Hoboken Grace for very long, you know that I love in between series conversations because we're able to really drill into maybe something that we missed or something that's just really particular to where we are as a church family. And coming out of the Be Free conversation and having today be Mother's Day, I thought that it was a perfect opportunity to be able to talk through what we're going to work through today, because I think it complements what we just come out of and understanding how God's given us this unbelievable freedom and brought this unbelievable freedom into our lives, and yet at the same time, talking to and celebrating those of you who are moms who are with us. And if you're a parent, you know that probably one of the most difficult things that you've ever done, I'd say really there's no contest, one of the most difficult things that you've ever done is being a parent. And from the moment that that happens, whether you planned it or didn't plan it, it's unbelievably hard. And my wife and I have a 4-year-old named Caden, a 2-year-old named Kale. And then today's the first time that we're publicly announcing the third, which will be here in a couple months. And so, and over the years, I've just become more and more aware almost every single day that the most difficult thing that I do is being a parent. And today, what I want to do is I want to walk through how God is instructing us as parents, and in the midst of that, be able to bring all of us into a greater understanding of what God's doing in our lives individually. And I think as a parent, one of the most amazing responsibilities that we have and one of the greatest opportunities that we have is that we have the opportunity and the ability to be able to shape the way that our children will relate to God by the way in which we relate to them. And the way in which our parents have related to us impacts, whether you wanted to or not, impacts how we relate to God. And some of you are very aware of this because as we've worked through this conversation about God being your father, you struggle with that because your relationship with your father was not good. Or maybe there was no relationship at all. And so you struggle with that whole idea and what that would look like. Why? Because the way in which our parents related to us drastically impacts the way in which we relate to God. And as a parent, when you step into that role, one of the things that you realize is that you've been given this unbelievable responsibility and this phenomenal opportunity, because the way in which you relate to these little ones is going to drastically impact the way that they're going to experience God in their future. And one of the most beautiful things that I see in the way that God is building into us and teaching us and training us is that for those of you who are parents, He's not just teaching you how to be able to care for your kids by what He says in His Word. He's teaching you how to be able to care for your kids by the way in which He cares for you. And so constantly, day by day, He's demonstrating how to be a parent. He's demonstrating how to love, how to guide, how to correct, how all these different things. As He's interacting with you, He's teaching you how to be able to do the same for someone else. And so today, as we walk through this conversation, I think we have this awesome opportunity to be able to see, for those of you who are parents, this beautiful thing that God is demonstrating for us. And then for all of us, really, it doesn't matter where you are on your journey, for all of us, how God is interacting with us as it pertains to this one area in particular. And there are all sorts of beautiful ways that we get to demonstrate God to those around us, specifically for those of you who are parents to our kids. Some of them we get really excited about, and some of them we're surprised by. And I think the conversation today might surprise you a little bit, because today what I want to talk to you about is discipline. And I think there are all sorts of beautiful ways that we get to do this in our children's lives. But I think one of the most beautiful ways is through this thing called discipline. And so what I want to do today is I want to walk all of us through this, because it doesn't really matter where you are on this journey. God is doing this in your life for you to understand your relationship with God better. And then also for those of you who are parents, for us to be able to see this in our relationship with Him, learn from it, and bring it into our relationship with our kids. It's one of these beautiful ways that God's leading us and guiding us. Now, I know when I say discipline, for most of us, you're going to think, oh man, this is not going to be a fun conversation. All right? It's not one of those words that just really excites people. If we were to announce last week, hey, listen, we're going to be talking about discipline next week, half of you wouldn't be here. Okay? I'm aware of that. And I understand, like, you're sitting here thinking, oh, this is going to be awful. But I think that's because of the fact that we don't understand. We don't understand what God's doing and how God's working. I remember I had a professor in school. It was a pastoral preparation class, and so they're working through all these different things. Some of it had to do with what you were going to do as a pastor. Some of it had to do with who you were going to be as a pastor. And so they were working through, okay, how do you raise kids, and what is that going to look like? And I remember my professor walked in one day. He walked to the front of the class, and he said to us, I never punish my kids. I never punish my kids. And he just kind of let it sit there. And for those of us in the class, we're like, he's finally lost it. And this guy had said some kind of off the rocker things in the past. And so we knew that, okay, where are you going to go with this? And what is this going to look like? But for most of us, we thought, okay, he's finally lost it. I mean, what do you do about all of the passages in Scripture that say that as parents we're supposed to discipline and correct and all these different things that we're supposed to do in our child's life, spare the rod, spoil the child. All of these verses were just coming through, you know, running through our minds. And I'm personally sitting there thinking, okay, if I turn this guy in, because I know this isn't what the school believes, if I turn this guy in, will they give us all passing grades or will I have to retake the class? And I'm just trying to like weigh that out and figure out which one I'm going to do. And he just kind of let it sit there. And then he began to walk us through what we've been walking through in the Be Free series. And in this previous conversation. And if you are here for the first time and you weren't a part of that conversation, I highly suggest it. It's so foundational to what we believe about God. And so I highly suggest that you go back and you can listen to it online, watch it online. If you want to know, okay, what does this church really believe about God and your relationship to Him, it's really captured beautifully in that conversation. Because in that conversation, we walk through the fact that, you know, in our relationship with God, everything's been taken care of. When we look at our past, everything's been paid for. When we look at our future, everything's been taken care of. And so he begins to walk us through this be free conversation. And as he does that, he says, I want you to understand something, guys. There is no more punishment for you in your relationship with God. None. None. And we've spent 6 weeks now walking through that together, right? That there is no more punishment. That when Jesus Christ goes to that cross, he takes the punishment. And he pays for all of it. You have nothing to add to that. There's nothing else left. It's not like he paid for most of it and then you have to pay for a little bit more. No, it's all paid for. The punishment's gone. He says, so I don't punish my kids, and I don't think you should either. He says, what I do is I discipline. Now, the problem I had with that is that I thought they're the same thing. I thought that the two words were basically interchangeable. And so punishment, discipline, they're really the same thing. You just use them in a different way at different times. Or if you want something to sound better, you say discipline. If you want to sound meaner, then you use the word punishment, right? And so in my mind, I was like, I don't understand the differentiation. What are you saying here? And he took us to a passage in the book of Hebrews that I want to take you to today, because I think it's absolutely crucial that you understand this in your relationship with God. And then for those of you who are parents, I think it's a beautiful demonstration of what we're to be engaged in the lives of our kids. And so I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 12. And throughout the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews has been walking this group of people, the people that he's writing to, he's been walking them through this conversation that we've had. And so in Hebrews 10, he's talking to them about how they've been made clean, how they've been sprinkled with the blood of Christ, how they can walk directly into God's presence, that there's nothing between them and God, that the punishment is completely taken care of. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, he begins to work through this phenomenal list of men and women of faith who have come before them. And it's crucial that you understand kind of where he's going with this conversation, and then also that you understand their situation, because the people that he's writing to are in the midst of increasing persecution because of their faith. And so he's writing to them to help them to understand what's happening and how they can process this in their relationship with God. And so he's writing to them to help them understand, listen, this isn't punishment. Everything's been taken care of because of Jesus Christ. And look at the people who've come before you, these great men and women of faith. And he actually includes them in this list as you get to the end of it. He says, listen, this is the life that you're living. And then when he gets to chapter 12, he wants to really help them understand, okay, listen, this is what's happening in your life right now. So listen to where we pick up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, it's talking about these men and women of faith, he says, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And so he begins to paint a picture here. Don't miss the picture, because if you miss the picture, you're going to miss what he's trying to help you understand. And so he begins to paint this picture of this journey that we're on being a race. He says, you need to think about it like a race. He says, you're running this race. And he says, so on this race, you need to cast off all these things that would entangle you or slow you down so that you can live it the best you can possibly live it. And then he begins to establish an example. He says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the example, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin. In other words, you haven't come to the point where Jesus was yet. Look at him as your example. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And then, in this next verse is going to be in all caps here, and I want to make sure you know, he's not yelling at you, okay? I know in our culture, if it's all caps, he's yelling at you. He's not yelling at you. It's just that in the scriptures and in your Bible, you're going to see it. Whenever it's a quotation, they'll put it in all capitals like this. And so he's actually quoting from the book of Proverbs. And he's referencing back to it. He says, you guys have forgotten this, and so I want to remind you of this. He says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Now, we're going to come back to this because this is a really, really important passage, and there's something in that you really need to know as we move forward. It says, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father has not disciplined? And then he begins to work through this relationship that we have with God and the relationship that we've had with our fathers. And he says, listen, you understand that discipline is necessary. You've experienced it in the relationship with your father. You need to understand the same thing is true with your heavenly father, that discipline is necessary in this relationship, and you need to understand what he's doing in this. And then he gets to this last line, and I want to jump down just a couple of verses later, because this last line is where he brings this picture back together, and it's just beautiful the way that he does it. He gets to this last line. He says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And as he's writing to this group of people, he says, listen, I know what you're going through. I know what you're enduring. He says, you need to understand something. This is discipline. Discipline is drastically different from punishment. Because you see, punishment is when I pay for what I've done. Discipline is when I prepare for what's ahead. Huge difference. Huge difference. And in order to help us get this, he paints this picture, and he's trying to help us see this the way that a coach would train a runner. And so he begins with this picture of a runner who's preparing for this race, who's trying to get better and better and better at his ability to be able to run this race. And he says, listen, you need to understand something. This is the way that God's dealing with you. It's like you're a runner who's trying to prepare for this race. And so he's doing these things in order to, and he brings it all back together in order to train you. Not so you pay for what you do, in order to train you for what's ahead. And so as you encounter these difficult things, as you run into these painful situations, you need to know that God is using this to prepare you for what's ahead. He is not punishing you for what's behind. And you see in the passage that there's really two reasons why this happens. The first is this idea of sharing in his holiness, right? It says, but if you're without discipline of which you have become partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, and he jumped down two verses later, he says, for they disciplined us for a short time as seems best to them, but he disciplines us for our good so that we may share in his holiness. And what he's saying here is, listen, there's one of the reasons why he disciplines you is because in your life, he wants you to be able to live this path to life as best as you possibly can. And if you remember back to the Be Free series, for those of you who are with us, and again, I highly encourage that you go back and listen to it if you haven't. In the midst of that, we talked about the path to life and the path to death. And I told you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you are free. You are free to choose the path to life or the path to death. And your relationship with God is not based upon your choice. Your relationship with God is based upon your faith in Jesus Christ. And we talked through the reasons why we choose the path to life and that it's different. It's not because of expectation. It's not because we're afraid. And so as he's continuing this conversation with them, he says, listen, you need to know something. It's true. You're not going to be punished based upon the choice that you make. But as a son or daughter of God, if you choose the path to death, God loves you far too much to leave you on that path. And so he is going to discipline you. He's going to step into your path and to do something to change your direction. He's going to discipline you because he loves you far too much to allow you to miss it. He loves you far too much to allow you to encounter the consequences of this path. And so one of the reasons that he does this is for you to be able to partake in his holiness or this beautiful path, this path to life. And so when you're headed this direction, he's going to do things to change your course. Now, what I've found is unbelievably phenomenal in my life is that this is not, and I know when you're headed down that path and you encounter that pain, you think it's punishment. But the writer of Hebrews wants you to understand, no. The all punishment has been taken by Jesus Christ. This is not punishment. This is preparation in order to help you change direction. Which is why sometimes it's not painful. And in my life, what I've found is that sometimes I'll be headed down this path to death and he'll bring something painful in to change my direction. Other times, I'll be headed down this path to death and he'll do something unbelievably gracious. I mean, a demonstration of his love that just blows me away. Have you ever been there? For those of you who've been on this journey, I bet some of you, if not many of you, have experienced this, where you're making a decision and you know it is the wrong decision, and God steps in and does something that just blows you away with his love. And you're like, oh my gosh, why would you love me like this when I am clearly not listening to you? It's discipline. He's doing something to change our direction. And in that moment, I'm like, I'm going back to you. Why? Because of, and sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's beautiful. And all of it because it has nothing to do with the decision that you made. It has to do with the decisions you'll make in the future. And so he's stepping in and saying, how can I, as your lovingly father, get you back on track? And I'm going to do whatever I can to get you back on track because I love you. And so one of the reasons is to change our course. Another one is this idea of running the race better, right? That we could run the race better, that we could experience it to the fullest. And so sometimes you'll be on the path to life and God's going to bring something difficult into your path. And in those moments, my natural tendency is, God, I'm doing what you asked me to do. It seems like I'm following you as best as I possibly can. Why are you doing this to me? Because I don't understand discipline. And what the writer of Hebrews is trying to help me understand is, listen, this doesn't have to do with your actions. This is God bringing something in because there's something greater coming that you need to be ready for. And I love this picture personally because I used to run in high school, and so I ran long distances. And every day we'd get together before practice began and we'd kind of be in that circle waiting for our coach to show up, and you know, very few of us believed in God, but all of us were praying that it would be a really short distance that day, right? And we're sitting there praying, God, please let it be like a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. And the coach steps in and he's like, listen, guys, Today we're running 10 miles. And all of us felt like we'd been punished. Right? Every single one of us were like, oh, you hate us. Why do you hate us? And sometimes you're on that path, man, and you're giving everything for God, and that difficult thing comes into your experience, and you're like, God, why do you hate me? And God's saying, no, listen, you've got a race coming. You got to be ready. And I'm getting you ready, and I know it's going to be painful as you walk through this, but man, it's going to prepare you for what's right around the corner, and you're going to thrive in that because of what you went through here. You're going to thrive in that because of what you experienced here. You're going to run better. Just this phenomenal way that he loves us. This discipline. It's the way that a coach would train a runner. And God says, as your father, I'm stepping into your life. And one of the things that you can celebrate is that I'm going to get you ready. I'm going to get you ready. And when you encounter those difficult things, you can know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is not punishment. And I want to stop there for 1 second because I want to explain this passage. Because there may be some of you here who are reading through this passage online. And we always have our notes online in the YouVersion app. And so you can read through it there and you can read through the passage in different translations. And so maybe some of you are here doing that. Or maybe you received one of the free Bibles that we give out. And the free Bibles that we give out are New Living Translation. So you're reading through this passage in the New Living Translation. And if you are, then you realize that the verse that we put up here is very different than the way that it reads in the New Living Translation. And I want to deal with that for just a second because it's really, 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 really important that you know this as you continue this journey. And so I want to go back to this passage really quickly. It's the quote from Proverbs. It says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." Now just leave that up there for just a second because I want to focus on this bottom word which says scourges. Okay? Because for some of you, if you're reading in another translation, you're reading, it says he punishes every son whom he receives. Now this really bothers me. And so I went back and I studied through this and I've studied through it a couple different times. And I want to make sure that you know this because for some of you, you're going to walk out of this conversation. You're going to pick up an NIV Bible or a New Living Translation Bible and you're going to read that and you're going to say, wait a second, I thought he doesn't punish us. Why does it say that he punishes us? I want to walk you through what I think has happened with this passage. First of all, one of the really cool things about this passage is that he's quoting the book of Proverbs, but the writer of Hebrews doesn't quote it word for word. When he comes to this final line, he changes it in order to connect with the people that he's talking to. And so they're literally going through persecution, so he wants them to understand that, listen, you're part of this. And so he changes it to this word, scourges. And inside the Greek, and we don't usually do this here at Hoboken Grace, but it's really important for this passage, so you need to know this. Inside the Greek, the word literally means to whip or to flog, to scourge. Okay? And this is really pertinent to the people that he's writing to. They are literally being whipped and flogged and scourged, right? I mean, this is their experience. And so he's trying to help them to understand, listen, what you're going through, this is what God's going to do. And he's going to use this to do these beautiful things inside of you. But unfortunately, when the modern translators have come to this word, rather than continuing to translate it into scourge or flog or whip, I don't know if they felt that it's too harsh. I don't know if they felt that it just doesn't communicate because we don't use this word. Several of them have translated it punish. That is a complete mistranslation and unbelievably hurts what the writer of Hebrews is trying to communicate in this passage. Because it's simply not true. And I want you to know that so that you don't come across this passage in the future and think, oh no, it says that he does punish me. And begin to believe that you have to pay in some way for what you've done. That's not what the writer of Hebrews said. That's not what God's word says. What God's word says is that he scourges. And it's the writer of Hebrews connecting with those that he's writing to. And the truth is, sometimes we're going to walk through things that are going to feel like we are being beaten down. And some of you may be there today. You're walking through something. You feel like you are being beaten down. And the writer of Hebrews is stepping into your life and saying, listen, this is not punishment. Don't allow this to drive you away from God because you think God is punishing you. This is not punishment. This is God. God is going to use this in your life to do something beautiful and powerful. He's going to use this to discipline you, to get you ready for that race, to help you to be able to run this race as best as you possibly can and to live this to the absolute fullest. The absolute fullest. It's not punishment. It's discipline. And I know when we first hear that word and we first encounter this idea of discipline, there's something inside of us that pulls back. But when you begin to see it for what it is, when you begin to see what God's doing in your life through it and what it's all about, what's driving it, you begin to realize that this is what keeps me safe. This is what keeps me safe. The fact that God's not going to let me just walk away. The fact that God's not going to let me walk into something I'm not prepared for. And He's consistently going to be active, not disengaged from my life, but active in my life to help me to be able to experience life to the fullest. This is what God's doing in all of our lives. All of our lives. And for those of you who haven't yet stepped into this relationship with Him, I want you to know this is the father-son, the father-daughter relationship that He wants with you, where He loves you this much, where He's this interested in you and what's happening in your life. I don't know what you may have heard about God. But this is the way that God loves. This is how much He cares. And then for those of us who are parents, the application of this is just beautiful. And I believe that as God is demonstrating this to us, He's calling us as parents to begin to move into our children's lives and to leave punishment behind. Listen, I'm not punishing you. The punishment for what you've done is between you and God, and the truth is Jesus Christ gave His life to take care of that. But I know that this path that you're headed down right now, it's going to destroy you. And so I am going to bring something into your life to change your course. And sometimes that's going to be really painful. And sometimes that's going to be really costly. And sometimes that's going to be really beautiful and just unbelievable demonstration of love. But I am going to do, and here's the thing that was just a huge shift in my mindset as a parent as I began to look at how God was doing this in my life. I began to look at my son and the decisions that he's making and say, okay, what will best help him change direction? And how can I be as consistent as possible in helping him change direction? Not in helping him understand how serious it was, the mistake that he made, or that he needed to somehow pay for or feel the hugeness of the direction that he was going by paying for what he had done. And to me, the whole mindset changed. And all of a sudden, discipline became something beautiful in my relationship between me and my son, as opposed to something that had to be difficult and ugly. And I know for some of you who are parents, you struggle with this idea of discipline, and I think it's because we don't understand it. And it's still not easy to be able to be consistent in our children's lives, to make sure that we're consistently stepping in and saying, okay, listen, you need to understand that this is a path to pain, and so I'm going to bring pain into your life, whatever that may look like, in order to help you change direction. Or even on the other side of it, and this is one of the things that I'm tempted as a parent to do, and I think all of us as parents are tempted to do, is that when we see our kids walking into something painful, we want to in some way, shape, or form rescue them from it or keep them from it. Let me just throw this out there for you really quickly. God doesn't believe that's what's best for you. As a matter of fact, he believes that walking through it with you is often what's best for you. Because it's part of discipline, it's part of training for what's in the future. And as parents, I believe that God is not just teaching us how to care for our kids by what he says in his word, but by how he's parenting us. And so he's leading us to leave behind punishment and to embrace discipline. And I know for some of you as parents, you're sitting here saying, what does that look like? How do I break this down? And we don't have time to be able to walk through all that. And I understand. And one of the things that I've realized as we've worked through this and preparing for today is that we need to spend more time working through this for those of you who are parents. I need to do that for myself as a parent. But today what I want to do is I want to bring you this beautiful truth for you to be able to understand just how much God loves you, for you to be able to interpret and walk through those difficult situations in the future and know that it is him loving you through this and that he's going to use this in some beautiful ways in your life. And then for those of us who are parents, to challenge the way that we look at it. And maybe just shift your mindset a little bit to begin to move into the lives of our children and just in another beautiful way, demonstrate who God is. He's so much greater than we thought. And the beauty of his love is just unending, including discipline. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we walk through this and we look at how you're moving in our lives, so active, using everything to help us experience the most abundant life possible. Father, I pray for those who are here who are walking through one of those difficult moments. And maybe you've stepped in and just said, listen, I want you back. I want you to understand what you're missing out on. And so you're just trying to change their direction. Father, I pray that they would understand how you're loving them in that moment. Or maybe they're pursuing you and they've just walked into this unbelievably painful moment. And they're looking around like, what did I do wrong? What happened? And I just pray that they would understand that those moments, that you could use those and that you're using them. And some of them you brought in to specifically prepare them because you want them to succeed, to thrive in what's ahead. I just pray that today they'd feel loved. That this truth would just wrap around them like a blanket. That for all of us, as your children, this truth would just wrap around us and just let us know you're safe. You're safe. You're safe. And Father, I pray for those who are here who are parents. We're trying to love and we're trying to help these little ones that you've trusted us with to understand who you are. Father, I pray that we would begin to move into this new understanding of our role and what that looks like, of what discipline looks like and how you've defined it. I'd pray that every single parent here would know that they're not alone. And that you've not only instructed us in unbelievable ways in your word, but every day as you interact with us, you are teaching us how to care for these little ones. And may we continue to grow in our experience of you so that we can bring it to them. In Jesus' name, amen.